Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been caught in the store? Perhaps your son or daughter has had a football practice or a soccer practice or some kind of practice, and their car breaks down. The next thing you know, you're the one needing to take them. So you throw some clothes on and you take them to their practice. And on the way home, you're passing the store and you realize you need to pick up an item or two. So you stop in, and as you're picking up those items, you hear the voice. A friend is calling your name. And as you turn to meet them, you see yourself. You catch a reflection. You see how disheveled you look. And you think, boy, do I look like this in public? It's a moment of self-revelation. Tonight we have a moment of self-discovery for Peter. Peter sees who he really is in terms of his denial. But in terms of God's grace, Jesus also holds out another picture for him, a picture of who Jesus is for Peter, his Savior. And so we have these two contrasting pictures that we'll look at tonight. Peter's denial and Peter's Savior. Doing that, it is my prayer that we will grow in the trust of our Savior, who enters places of denial and makes them places of renewal in his love. Consider the courtyard, the place of Peter's denial. As he is sitting there warming himself by the fire, it's the serving girl who first makes the connection. She says, "This man also was with him." She puts Peter and Jesus together. But Peter denies it. He says, "I do not know him." There's a crack in the foundation. Whenever we lose sight of Jesus, it's like a crack in the foundation of a house. Before you know it, it is spreading and it brings the whole building to ruin. A little later, another person catches him and says, "You also are one of them." So we have gone from Peter and Jesus to now Peter and the disciples. And finally, the third brings it all the way full circle. Certainly this fellow was with him, for he too is a Galilean. So we move from Peter and Jesus to Peter and the disciples, and now Peter and all of the ministry that Jesus did in the area of Galilee. And yet Peter still says, "No." When your relationship with Jesus is broken, it doesn't take long for everything else to give. At this moment, we see Peter having a moment of self-revelation. He hears a sound, sees a face, and remembers a word. Luke writes, "Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord." Like hearing the voice of your friend in the store, Peter sees who he really is. Jesus knew him better than he knew himself. Peter had been the one to say that he would follow Jesus to prison. He would follow him to death. And now in a very short time, he had just denied Jesus three times before the crow of the rooster. By our own might, we are unable to follow Jesus. But salvation is not dependent on what we do for Jesus, but on what Jesus has done for us, for you. And if we ever rely on our own strength rather than Jesus, we've entered into a place of denial. That is what really makes a place of denial. Not the drama of having other people question you about Jesus, but your relationship to him. Whenever we rely on our own strength instead of Jesus, we've entered into that place of denial. Think about your places of denial. They may not be as dramatic as Peter's, but they're still places of denial nonetheless. It could be a place of honor in the church. Is your family one of the founding members of this church? It could be going to Bible study frequently, coming to adult Bible class and reading your Bible every night. It could be frequency of devotional life. And we look at these things, our years of membership, our leadership, our attendance in the congregation. And little by little, we begin to think that our faith is strong because we are making it strong. We become a bit bolder in our witness. We speak up about our contempt of culture's lifestyle in workplaces. We speak up in church meetings because we've been here for so long, people should listen to us. And as we think we are going stronger and stronger in the faith, we're actually neglecting the crack in the foundation. You see, there are many ways of denial. There's clear, emphatic, out in the middle of the courtyard, but then there's also emphatic, self-righteous, and forgetting the work of Jesus in your life. You look like a Christian. You act like a Christian. You do all the things that a Christian should do, but you neglect Jesus' work in your life. You miss the crack in the foundation. You're relying on your own power, your own achievements, and there is a crack now between you and Jesus. And soon the whole structure will fall. There will come a time when you are not able to do as you have said that you will be able to do. There might be a time when you're speaking to your children or to your child, and you tell them, a Christian doesn't do that, and they'll look back at you and say, you do it all the time. When we sign the divorce papers, and the spouse says, but I thought you said, I do. When we see that we cannot follow into prison or grave, that we are weak, we are sinful, and there is no health in us. And for a despairing moment, all that we can say is, I am lost in sin, and I cannot free myself. To such people, Luke offers another word this evening, the word of Jesus, the word of his passion. In the midst of our failure, Jesus is and remains the one who takes away our sin. Our salvation does not depend on how much we can bear for Jesus. Instead, it depends on how much he bore for you. It rests securely on what Jesus does and says for us. In the face of Peter's denial, Jesus continued to be Peter's Lord. As he went out to weep bitterly, Jesus went on to the cross of Calvary for him. Jesus knew Peter better than he knew himself, and he knows you better than you know yourself. He sees our denial, he sees our sin, and yet he continues to go to the cross. We are not saved by giving up our lives for Jesus, but we are saved because he gave up his life for us. When Peter is caught in the act of denial, Jesus continues in his act of love. By doing this, Luke asks us to see a different picture, the picture of a Savior's love. Jesus comes to us in the most awkward of moments. He comes when our house isn't clean. He comes when we're still struggling with our own demons and with our own sins. He comes when we think that there's no way we will ever be the person God wants us to be. And at those times, he has this to say, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Jesus is the foundation that we have before God. God the Father received his life for you, that he might give you his love for all time. Jesus comes to you tonight in the midst of changes. Time passes and our life is filled with change. We go from a dorm to an apartment, from an apartment to a condo, from a condo to a retirement home, from a retirement home to a skilled care facility, and from a skilled care facility to our graves, where we will one day rise and meet our Savior. But in each place, while we change, while our place changes, Jesus does not. He will always be the one that we know him to be, the one who went to the cross of Calvary for your sin and has given you eternal life. The one who went to the cross for our sin and rose from the grave for our salvation, Jesus brings us tonight a picture of his love. In those times you are faced with a painful self-revelation, Luke wants you to see your Savior. Trust in his love. Live in his kingdom. Pray in his name. And know that as you now know him, Jesus will always be. He enters into our places of denial and makes them places of renewal in his love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.